Hello, and welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, Connie B. Dowell, and today is the first episode of December. We've only got a few more episodes left in the decade. Isn't that wild to think about? Just three more episodes left before it's an entirely new decade. So as the year winds to a close, I'm thinking about plans for next year. And I know this fall has been kind of a transition period, usually with more than two episodes a month, averaging more than bi-weekly. And I think next year we'll make totally the jump to completely a weekly podcast, with perhaps a few announced breaks around holidays and things. Even though I'm actually not taking a break around this holiday, I'm going to just pre-schedule my post to have it go out every Wednesday, just like normal, even though the final Wednesday of the year is going to be Christmas Day. So you will get Book Echoes right to your podcast player on Christmas morning, like a little present. Not that anybody's really going to be listening to podcasts on Christmas morning, but it's there whenever you want it. All right, so again, thinking ahead, I'm thinking about plans. Look out for an episode on planning. Probably it will be the Christmas episode because that's the last one of the year. But I've also got a little bit of an announcement/request for you guys concerning planning. So while I've been making my 2020 plans and kind of wrapping up my 2019, trying to get my Christmas short story out the door, trying to wrap up as much of book one of Millie Monroe as I can before the holidays begin, I got a bee in my bonnet about planners, and specifically about creating my own author planner. Well, late November is perhaps not the best time to start planning your planner. If you wanted to make a planner, even if I'd wanted it to make it as beautiful as I want just for myself, it would still have taken me a bit longer than I have right now, because I want to include watercolor illustrations, and that all takes time. So I am doing kind of a beta run of my planner. I'm spending little bits of time these last few weeks of 2019, putting together a very bare bones interior structure. I'll probably do a watercolor for the cover, maybe one or two other watercolors for the first quarter, and then print out my first tester version just for me to use, and use that for a bit, and then kind of refine my planner over 2020, we just had 2019. Refine my planner, add more illustrations, add more features and a couple of iterations, and hopefully have that ready to release so anybody could buy one by the final quarter of 2020. So why I'm telling you guys all this is that you guys are my audience for this planner, and I am directing it specifically at authors, specifically at indie authors. It's an indie author planner. So if you would have some thoughts that you'd like to share, I'd really appreciate it if you would go to the show notes, bookechoes.com/show. The show notes for this episode will be up at the top if you are listening to this on the week that it comes out. Or you can email me, connie@bookechoes.com, and just let me know what are some features that you like to see in a planner, and what are some features maybe that aren't so useful. And I mean, I'm thinking content, the size and shape of the book, the the format, hardcover versus paperback versus spiral bound. So if you've got thoughts to share about planners, I would love to hear them. Now, moving on to our interview for today. So I'm talking to Jules Fox, the author of children's books, and also the author of coloring books as well. So, which is a really exciting market, both for children and for adult colorers, I guess. Colorists, I think that's the word. Colorists. So that is really interesting. This is the first author of coloring books that we've had on the podcast. And I think he can share some really interesting insights about that field, about his experience publishing. And I think you will enjoy this upcoming interview. Here we go. Hi, welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today on the podcast, we have children's author Jules Fox. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Connie. I feel welcome already.
All right, well, we're glad to have you. So would you like to start off by telling us a little bit about yourself and your books?
Sure. My name's Jules Fox. I'm from Hawaii and currently live in San Diego. I am a YA and middle grade author, as well as an author and illustrator of picture books for young children.
Excellent, excellent. And I thought I saw some coloring books as well. Is that part of?
It's true. You know, I had this original idea to do picture books and then also just like leave them blank to launch them as coloring books too. But I found more that people gravitated just toward the coloring books. And so I started doing just solo coloring books because kids have always asked for my art when they see it live. So that just made sense to transition into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, excellent. So is there one particular book or series that you would like to pitch to the listeners?
Sure. I have a fantasy unicorn coloring book on Amazon that kids have just absolutely been devouring and loving. And I have a mermaid coloring book that should be soon to follow up. I'll probably be done illustrating that by the time this podcast comes out.
Oh, excellent. So yeah, mermaids, unicorns, those are all pretty hot topics right now.
It's, you know, I think I'm going to go into then like, you know, fairies and dragons and, you know, all kinds of other stuff that you know, kids just love that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. They really eat it up and it inspires them to do their own art, which is really the best part of coloring books. Yeah, they color into the blanks and stuff like that, but then to watch them get inspired and draw on their own is really fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So circling back a little bit more to us about your books, for our listeners, if you hear something weird in the background, it seems like the Houston rain has just decided to pour over the roof, which is like about a foot over my head. So hopefully it's not too disruptive. But circling back to your books, what do you think is something special that your books offer to kids, a special reason for a teacher or a librarian or parent to pick them up and recommend them?
Well, you know, I created a mixed race family, which I think is an essential element. My daughter's half Asian, and there's not a lot of, recently this has changed, but, you know, about 5-6 years ago when I got into the game, there really wasn't a lot of characters that people would be able to relate to that weren't just, you know, white people that come from really normal families. And by normal, I mean, you know, you have straight mom, straight dad, two kids, one brother, one sister, like Berenstain Bears is pretty normal. And I'm going to say that those bears are pretty white for being brown bears, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, I myself, I'm a white person and I'm not at all self-loathing, but I just realized that there are so many other voices out there that need to be heard. And I think that there's characters that need to, for young readers to be able to relate to, because we kind of have this epidemic of, you know, as an educator, I see this all the time. People saying, oh, you know, these kids don't read. And if from a young age, young kids have only seen that there's characters that they can't identify with, then why would they want to read? Why would they want to pick up books?
Yeah, absolutely. Representation really does matter, and it matters to what people internalize as, like you said, as depicted as normal, which is, you know, that's a loaded term in itself. Like, every family is normal. There's no normal families.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you get started writing and illustrating?
Well, I was 6 years old, and I just had an idea for a book, and I went for it, and I didn't actually publish that one, but it was, you know, it was about 35 years ago, back in the day before self-publishing, and about 6 or 7 years ago, I had this idea that I'd been working with kids for quite some time as an educator. And I thought to myself, gosh, there's got to be some better books out there, because there are some really phenomenal books, but they're kind of few and hard to find. And I thought that I could do it. So a friend and I were chatting, and we kind of had similar ideas. And we came up with this idea called Sprouts Stories to Grow With, which was going to include a lot of diversity. So each of the different characters in our children's book series would have different things, a pair of different racial issues. And so we actually did our first book on Kickstarter. We raised about $12,000 and printed out 1,000 copies, and learned how hard it is to physically mail out copies of those books, especially from Hawaii.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay. We had a little bit of connection issue when you answered the question, but you said you and your friend did this book focused on diversity, and you funded it through Kickstarter, and that was your first book?
Yep, that was our first book. And you know, that character actually was kind of a soft punch. It was like a married mom and dad parents with a single child, and then we wanted our child to, eat well and be overweight, and that's a part of it. That there's prejudice as far as like characters' weight, you know, and you always have these like young, skinny, fit kids in books. So that was one of our things that we wanted to do. That was very well received. It was also included mindfulness inside of it. Like, the message was, you know, she has these anger issues. She really wants to grow up. And part of her thing is deep breathing and, working through her own frustrations, like learning how to work through her own frustrations.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Excellent. So that's kind of your path getting started into writing. What drew you to write and illustrate specifically for children?
Honestly, it was the children, you know, that you have these kids who just eat books up. I go to the library at least once a week with my daughter, and we buy a lot of books as well. You know, she probably wants to read about 10 or 20 new books a week. And while we're at the library, we'll sit there reading the books. And after she's read them, she's like, and now I want to check this one out and take it home, you know, so that we can read it more. Mm-hmm. You know, we're into a couple little chapter books. She's loving this new Judy Moody series where they branched out into the Friends. And, you know, I mean, she's 4 years old, but she's like a very avid listener. And I think that that's also promoted her to completely self-taught, be able to read and write to some extent.
Yeah, excellent. A lot of people, children really are the inspiration to write for children, and writing for your kids. Kids are a big inspiration for children as writers, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Kids. And, you know, studying the markets and chatting with other authors and going to writing groups, you can see how much money people are bringing in with the top selling categories, which is like romance novels and stuff like that, which are great. And I 100% respect that decision. If you're into it, and if you want to make that money, that's a great idea, and I totally encourage it. You know, and going into children's books, it's...
Oh, I think we lost you there for a second. Maybe it'll come back in a moment. Yep, definitely lost the feed, but... Maybe it'll come back here and then we can kind of restart. Oh, yeah, I lost you there for a second.
Okay,
we'll just back on up. You were saying
that
you respect people who go into kind of high earning genres, but in children's books and then...
Yeah, so I really respect authors of all types, and I don't think that anybody sells out. I think that if you want to sell your work and get in front of a lot of people, that's absolutely great. Part of what I do is also just telling stories that I think need to be told, you know, and a lot of that is with children's books. If you are trying to really say an authentic and genuine message, and come up with a nice, clever story with great illustrations, that's all fine and good. But it's still, just because of the nature of the market, it's still very hard to make money in the industry. And a big part of that has to do with actually printing and publishing. A hardcover book is hard to you know, print and publish and then send out if you aren't a large company.
Yeah. But I think it's still a worthwhile challenge. Like you, I think it's still a very worthwhile challenge to get those books in the world. Before we talk about challenges, since you publish coloring books, and we haven't had any coloring book artists on the podcast, would you talk a little bit about just like any advice you would give to someone who is interested in doing that direction?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like children's books, I would say that the market for adult coloring books is really high, but the demand for children's coloring books is really high too. Like, kids want to be able to color. I wouldn't say it's incredibly lucrative. I probably spend all of my earnings buying more books and just giving them away to friends and at readings and stuff that I go to. So, you know, keep illustrating and just keep illustrating and keep illustrating. The same thing as writing. I think that there may be some innate talent, but really it's practice and practice and practice and just continuing to illustrate that makes you better. And the other thing is to, you know, if you are interested in becoming an illustrator of coloring books, buy a couple of coloring books and you can see there's really a broad range from technical proficiency, where people do like mandalas and sort of inspired technical art, to really creative and wacky off the wall coloring book art, to some, you know, and there's a few uninspired works out there too, where people are almost trying to cash in on a market of coloring books. And I think that wave of adult coloring book markets is a bit over if people are trying to break into that industry.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit about challenges. So when you first started writing and illustrating, is there a challenge that you faced that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, from personal challenges of when I was drawing in school, as a little kid, it was all fine and dandy, and people loved that you're doing art. It looks a certain way. And then as you get into the judgmental high school years, you know, you get teased for drawing. Pretty much you're just being yourself and doing the same thing that you've always been doing. And the mentality shifts, you know, they say, why are you drawing when you can be like skating or surfing or doing something like that? And I said, well, I also do those things, but I really like to draw. So I really was put off of drawing for a bit, you know, from having that social shame of it, that it's like, it's not cool to be an artist. You know, and then I noticed as I got older and I was in college, I started drawing again and cartooning for the newspaper at my college. And, you know, I noticed that people were more receptive to it again. And so I wish I could say that I was so resilient that I would just draw regardless of what people say, but that's not the case. And I don't think that that's the case for any of us, is that we all are better at our art when we do have that encouragement from people around us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, important for listening parents to keep in mind for, you know, artistically minded kids. So yeah, I give them that encouragement to keep them going.
Yeah. What I'd add on to this is, you know, the message of like, you know, if your friends are criticizing what you're doing, find better friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
No, that is worthwhile to remember. If your friends aren't supporting you, that's not a good friend. That's how a friend's.
Yeah.
So when you started putting out books, is there a challenge you faced at that new stage as an illustrator?
Yeah, absolutely. I would liken, because I've actually been through this process and been a parent, I would liken having a book to having a baby, in that you learn so much about a world you never really understood until you had it happen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get all kinds of great parenting advice from people who don't have kids because they don't really know what it's like to be a parent. And likewise, you get all this great publishing and book advice from people who aren't writers and haven't published a book. And really, there's just a whole world of information out there that you never knew existed, from formatting your book to coming out with like a fixed layout book, you know, and using Adobe InDesign, or taking your images and learning about bleeds and gutters and stuff that you really had no idea was even part of the book industry, but makes sense as you start to learn about all those little teeny minute but very important details.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before I let you go, do you have any parting thoughts you would like to share maybe with people who are aspiring to be illustrators or author illustrators?
Absolutely. You know, the major thing that's missing from most, the major component that I see that's missing from most aspiring authors and illustrators is that you should be putting out good content. You know, and if you're writing for yourself and you're illustrating for yourself, 100% support that. That's amazing. But if you then go ahead and you wonder why your stuff isn't selling, why don't people love my art? Why don't people love my books? You know, it might be because you're not considering what people want. And so, you know, find good content, and content that you love to create, and content that people love to read or love to look at, and then create that content if it's something that you're considering doing professionally. And then you won't take it so personally when people say like, oh, wow, you created all this art. That's cool. I don't really like it, but it's so nice that you did that, you know? And
mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to consider the market if you do want to make money at this.
Well,
thank you, Jules, for coming on. Where can we find information about you and your books online?
You can always just check out Jules Fox on Amazon, or come over to julesfoxstories.com, and I've got some freebies for there for you to sign up, some little printable coloring books, and you can look at some of my art or check out some of the books that I do and see why I do what I do. And how I do what I do, because I've got my own blog posts and tutorial videos coming out.
Oh, excellent. That would be a great resource for people who are looking how to get started. So yeah. Thank you again for your time.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And good luck with your own work. I'm really looking forward to your new books coming out.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Book Echoes. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or the podcast player of your choice. And I'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to give us some feedback, please rate or leave a review on the podcast player of your choice, or leave a comment at bookechoes.com/show. Until next time.